Blog Talk Radio.
So those faithless and perverse generation. Can you say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends. Don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on. That's the secret right there. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it. Seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your friend, and let me see how you start your day out. If you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging double, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their hearts and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you. And the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people grow up!
Hey, glory to the King. Blessings, Israel. I hope you all are doing well. I guess the first order of business is to confirm that I'm actually being heard. So appreciate a radio check. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Wonderful. All right, y'all. Thank you for the radio checks. Sounds like we're coming in very well. Thank the Most High for that. Hope y'all are still feasting off the word that we got yesterday. Faithfully, Pastor Dell, for 30 years has been bringing that word forth. It'd be impossible to try to even estimate the thousands of hours that he has ministered to the saints and expounded to the saints, because he has a love for Yah and Yah's people. And it would be kind of a dishonor not to go back and keep listening, so you can actually get edified and get strengthened. The one thing about Israel, though, because we know from the history of our people, is that, you know, they hear, and they say they hear, but so many times that there's no performance of the word. So what is the good to sit there and listen and consume all that and be privileged to that and be honored by the Most High to be able to be sit amongst his people and then have no performance of the word? There's a lot to be determined at the end, is there not? Hey, glory to the King. Blessings to y'all. Appreciate y'all joining me tonight on this edition, the Brothers segment of Blog Talk Radio. And in case there are those that do not know, this is Elder Douglas Becker with this segment tonight. All right, tonight we're going to talk about confusion, or better yet, the spirit of confusion. We're going to talk about its workings, what it does to the mind, how it interacts, its influences, its manifestations, and I hope Yah is my helper that I can bring this out to the best extent that I can with this segment tonight. So with that, I want to give thanks to my Master and Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, for this opportunity to be before Yah's people and put this word out here. I pray I do it justice in the name of Jesus. So, hallelujah. Again, it's confusion, the spirit of confusion we'll be talking about tonight. We're going to get down to it and start right now. Hallelujah. Yes, Brother Ugly posted it up. Tonight's topic, the spirit of confusion. All right. Tonight I'm going to speak to us today about how confusion works on the inside and how it manifests on the outside. I desire to expose its workings in our own personal challenges, as well as exposing and illustrating, using by the word, how it seeks to stir things up and take us away from the safety and trust that can only be found in Yahweh. Understand something about confusion. It is a very powerful spirit. It is rarely considered as the problem, and nobody prays seriously against it. At least I don't believe, because I don't hear it being brought up too often. Confusion, it burrows down deep into the mind. It continually challenges clarity and contentment and assurance. It wars against soundness and faith and righteousness. Staying in prayer against the spirit of confusion is very important in the life of a believer. When your heart and mind is focused and void of confusion, you can better fulfill the will and purpose that Yahweh has for your life. And one of the worst things that can happen to a man's life is to be confused, as being confused is to be indecisive, not knowing the way forward, unsure, flailing, and second-guessing. Confusion brings limitations to one's life because a confused person will not know the way forward. So the first question to ask is, what is confusion? And it's pretty, it's stretched out pretty good. It encompasses a lot of different areas in our lives and in this world. So confusion is, it's disorder. It is chaos. It is purposeless action. It is uncertainty. It is wavering. It is indecision. It is that spirit that is growing quickly and more powerful among the people in these last days, as you can obviously see the society and what it's become. We live in a world inundated with confusion in life, in thought, in speech, and in action. Confusion is instability, where nothing is concrete, can't seem to find solid footing and assurance. Confusion is restlessness. It's warring in the mind and body, can't find resolution on things or to things. It is being double-minded, wavering, uncertain, doubting, challenges perpetuated by personal beliefs and ideas. It's being disturbed, seemingly always troubled about things. It's unable to focus. It's having trouble with understanding, can't make sense of things. Like, for example, when you read your word and you have trouble grasping what is being conveyed or being what the context or the content of whatever it is that you're reading. It causes doubts, fears, and panic. It's oftentimes, many times, connected directly with envy and jealousy. It is discontentment, you know, seemingly never satisfied. These are all the things that are attached or the result and the influence of a spirit of confusion. It is strife. It is contentions, always questioning things, you know, why, challenging things because the mind doesn't comprehend or grasp. It is sexual perversions, deep sexual, deep-rooted, overflowing, sick sexual perversions. It is shame and embarrassment because of lack of understanding. It ushers in confusion, and we feel ashamed and embarrassed for not understanding whatever this is or whatever that is. It is complete disorder. It causes you to believe something is acceptable when it clearly it is not. Now, this is a hell of a list, but it's a list nonetheless. It's a misrepresentation of facts to alter thoughts and understandings of others and then dismiss themselves from having to make their claims valid, like just simply explaining things away with no accountability. It brings divisions through miscommunications, poor conveyance of the meanings of something, and a lack of details. It's found with those who carry a lot of anger, a lot of ill will, malice, rage, and contention, and a militant attitude. If you can't seem to find peace in your walk, that you deal with a lot of anger, there is a good possibility that you are under the influence of a spirit of confusion, because when you're confused, the outward reaction is to it is to be angry and upset because you can't get an understanding, all right? But the spirit is possibly have some type of influence or authority in your life. Confusion is a lack of identity, an inner wrestling of who you are supposed to be. And this, of course, trying to define yourself, get a hold of yourself, is going to lead to, again, back to anger and rage and that sort of thing. It propels one who's under the influence of that spirit to force things to happen. It pushes for change to get his desire and is blind to what is driving, and it's just out there speaking it. It's trying to express itself, trying to make itself feel, the person feel satisfied that's under the influence of it. And ultimately, it is trusting in man rather than Yah, looking to man as your gauge of how you are seen by the Most High. All right, this is a dictionary definition of the word confusion, as we find in our modern-day dictionaries. It is the act of confusing. It is the state of being confused. It is disorder, upheaval, tumult, which is a loud, confused noise. It's when, especially when you get a lot of people together, right? Everybody, there's confusion in the group. We're going to talk about that too. And you have dissension and division just because the spirit enters in and causes this upheaval. It is perplexity. It's bewilderment. It's lack of clearness and clarity or distinctness. Again, this is the dictionary definition. It is embarrassment or abashment. All right, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. And as always, Brother Ugly, appreciate your labors for the ministry for the Most High in keeping the saints informed of where what verses we're using and definitions. Appreciate it greatly. And if you all don't tune in to Straightway News, you really need to be. Brother Ugly does a phenomenal job. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For Yah is not the author of confusion, or Yah is not of confusion, meaning that has nothing to do with him. It's totally opposite of the Most High. But Yah is of peace, as in all the assemblies of all the saints, where Yah is supposed to be, there's supposed to be peace and not confusion or the Spirit operating. And you can see by Paul's word that the opposite of peace and order is confusion. Yahweh does all things peaceably and in order, and that which is not peaceable and orderly is not of Yahweh. Therefore, it must be considered that the devil is involved at some level in some aspect. All right, the word confusion, as we find in 1 Corinthians 14:33, as we just read it, is the Greek 181, and I'm not going to try and pronounce the Greek word. Elder Bricker got to stop himself right there. That's where I draw the line. If y'all want to try, fine. All right, this is the Thayer definition, Brother Ugly, out of the Thayer definition. Confusion, Greek 181, for those of you who are taking notes. It means instability. It means a state of disorder, disturbance, or confusion. And again, it's from the Greek 181, so we're going to break that down too. The Greek 182. It is from the Greek 182, excuse me. And the Greek 182 means unstable or inconstant, frequently, which is frequently changing, irregular, and it means to be restless. So Yah is not of disorder. Yah is not of instability. Yah is not of disturbances. The Most High is not unstable. He's not of instability. He's not inconstant. He doesn't change. He's not irregular. He's not restless. So if you take the word confusion in its definition and inserting in the 1 Corinthians 14:33, you can see what Yah isn't, what we can see physically, what we can know about ourselves naturally or spiritually, what's going on in us, but Yah is peace. He's the opposite of all the things I just read. So when you see these other things at work, you know the Most High is not in it, that Satan is in the midst. And for those of you who are restless, those of you who have trouble getting peace in your mind, that you can't ever seem to get a good night's sleep, always dealing with a barrage of thoughts, I mean, things just continually come through you, to you, you know, working out problems and solutions and questioning and trying to get an understanding, and you got you tossed and turned in your bed all night and can't get up and you're pacing, whatever it might be. It could be that a spirit of confusion has entered in at some point in your life. You know, this confusion caused your mind to think overtime, and it's not allowing you to come to terms or be at peace because it wants you to stay in confusion. Because you are searching for answers and trying to make sense of things for yourself, that you at that point may find the peace that you want just totally escapes you because you're so, it's got, this spirit has got you so working overtime to make sense of life, right? And to answer questions and to get some kind of carnal idea of why you are like you are. All right, going to the book of James. We'll be in there a few times tonight, book of James. I'm going to start out in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. James chapter 3, 13 through 16. And James writes, "Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you?" So he's putting out their question. Obviously in the ministry here, especially if you've been here for any length of time, you know already, because you know them that labor amongst you, who has the spirit of wisdom and who doesn't. So who is a wise man and do with knowledge among you? James is asking a question. Then he's going to go out and say how you can identify who this wise man is. It's this wise man, let him show out of a good conversation or his manner of living his works with meekness of wisdom. He's actually going to perform and walk after the wisdom that has been given to him by the Most High. And he's going to show it as an example for the rest of the body. So that's the way to identify him. This is a person, he demonstrates sound behavior, with humility because of the wealth of wisdom, knowing that wisdom comes from Yah, who is in heaven, and we are men of this earth. So you can obviously understand somebody that walks in the true spirit of wisdom because they're not operating after the wisdom that we find in this world, which ends in a lot of dead ends and a lot of failures, and it doesn't give any edification, and there's no profitability in it. Spiritual profitability. Verse 14, but if you have these things, if you have bitter envying, which is malignant jealousy, just a real hatred for somebody or something. But if you have bitter envying and strife, which is contention in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, the wisdom that's used by those that are carrying the envy and the strife, and like to boast in it, this wisdom that they're operating and walking in is not the wisdom that descended from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. And the reason that James is giving us this warning and trying to get us to understand who is those that are actually operating in the wisdom that ascended from above rather than this carnal wisdom that's on this earth, which is sensual and obviously devilish, as James right here. It's behind the devil's wisdom. What makes sense to us carnally but doesn't apply to us spiritually, if you understand. And James is trying to explain to get us a picture in our mind of who this is, because he's going to show you the fruit of those that are walking in this type of behavior. And he's going to make a determination of why that is. So he said, for where you're going to find envy, verse 16, for where envying, which is, again, jealousy or wanting what another has, that's a lust, and strife, which is contention. So when you see these things come to the surface, when you see these things play out, there is confusion. There's instability and disorder and every evil work. So this is a way to identify and operate or identify those that believe they have the wisdom that ascends from above, but they get out there behind the scenes and they expound this carnal wisdom, this earthly wisdom, this devilish wisdom. And the next thing you see the fruit of it by the division it causes, by the strife it causes, by the contention it causes. All because it's driven by envy and jealousy. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be recognized in the assembly. But when you see these people, these fellowships getting tore apart, when you see constant failures in whatever area of me, whether it be in a group of people talking over the phone, on social media, whatever, there's probably a spirit of confusion at operation because it loves to cause strife, and it loves to cause, because it's got an envious, jealous spirit. It wants something, it wants position, power, and authority that has not been granted to it. But James gave us the idea, he gave us the picture of what to look for when you see these things. You should automatically, right away, know that there's possibly a spirit of confusion at work. Okay? And the word envy, I mean, let's just break this down quick. In the accounts we just read, envy is the Greek 2205, for those who want to go back and write this down as used in verse 14 and 16. It's the Greek 2205, like I said. It's from the Greek 2204. It means figuratively zeal, properly heat. In a favorable sense, ardor. Well, that's real determination. In an unfavorable one, jealousy. It's indignation. So it's that anger. It's that rage that comes back. And the word strife, because we talked about the two characteristics when we find confusion in the work. Again, it's envy and strife, which we know is to be contention. And that's the Greek 2052. I'm sorry, Brother Ugg. These are both out of the Strong's. So Greek 2052, it means intrigue, that is implication, faction, contention, just simply contention. So we know what strife is. It's just simply contention. A contentious attitude envelops, and then you get division. So that's another push behind a spirit of confusion. It causes division. Proverbs 6:34. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 34. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. The only reason I inserted that again, it's just to more, it's better to support what we just read here in James, that when you find things like envy and jealousy, and out of that comes rage. A lot of times what's fueling that is a confused mind. It doesn't know what it's supposed to have. It doesn't know how it's supposed to walk. It wants what somebody else has. And it gets upset and gets angry when it can't have it, and it acts out. I mean, it's pretty simple, I think, right? I hope I'm explaining this all right. All right, James chapter 1, James 1, verses 5. James wrote all about this stuff, didn't he? James chapter 1, verses 5 through, 5 through 8. Again, James going back, right? Or I guess we're going back, but James had written about it, what we just read in James chapter 3. But his letter consisted much about wisdom and the things that go on with true wisdom and false wisdom. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, which is knowledge, insight, or deeper understanding, let him ask of Yah, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, this is a promise that if you lack wisdom, ask Yahweh. But this promise is conditional. We're going to find out what that condition is. Yah will not think less of you. He will not find fault with you for asking for wisdom, as he knows that's what we have need of. He wouldn't have put it out there if he didn't expect you to ask. And he's not going to be upset. The simple fact that James wrote that Yah is never going to be upset about it. He wants to give you, expound to him that wisdom that ascended from the above. And, of course, we have an entire book from Genesis to Revelation, and plus the Apocrypha, that is just full of wisdom. So he expounded. He wants you to get in that word, read it, absorb it, perform it, and walk in it. That will make you a true man of wisdom. It's a performance. Okay, let me see. He will not fault with you for asking for wisdom, as he knows that we have need of what we have need of. He knows we desire answers to our many questions so that we may find rest for our souls. I mean, he put it out there. So, I mean, I ask all the time, honestly, because I know I need it. I feel like I'm the dumbest person on the face of this earth. I need all of Yah's help, and I need help to continually put the word before me, to remember it, to walk in, to have the performance of it, so I can be wise. But this is the condition. If you're going to ask, and you sincerely inquire for wisdom, that deeper understanding, that greater insight, that knowledge, right? James says you've got to ask in faith, but let him ask in faith that is full assurance, nothing wavering, no wavering at all. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Not being confident about the wisdom that you asked for, second guessing yourself, doubting that you receive what you have received. Wavering is a manifestation of the workings of confusion. It's a characteristic that you can identify in yourself, that you might be under the influence of a spirit of confusion or being controlled by a spirit of confusion. It causes one to strive against his own self. It causes one to hesitate, contend, and reason things out. It's an inner struggle to believe that what you have asked for and what was given are not from Yah or of Yah. Because you believe when you go to, and all of a sudden you're not getting what you think. You fail in your belief. You haven't asked in faith and full assurance. It is a denial that these are things that are being spoken in your mind, that because you hesitate, contend, you don't reason these things out, and you not have that full assurance that the wisdom you asked for, you've actually been given or shown, or the example is in front of you, and then there's this big war that starts to go on again, you're right back in the same place. So James, again, he said, when you ask, don't waver. Don't second guess. Don't contend. with your own self. Don't get in contention with your own self. Okay, the word wavering. Again, we have to read the word wavering because it's an attribute, a characteristic of confusion. Because if you weren't confused, when you asked, you would accept it in faith that you received what you asked for. But if you have confusion, you're going to start to question yourself that, well, the wisdom that was given me, was it actually of the Most High or wasn't of the Most High? Should I apply it or shouldn't I apply it? You understand? Now, we always have the Word to back it up, right? But we also have the Holy Spirit, which leads and guides us into all truth. He's the Comforter. The word wavering, as we find in James 1:6, is the Greek 12:52. This is out of the Thayer, Brother Ugly. It means to separate, make a distinction, discriminate, to prefer. It means to learn by discrimination, to try, to decide, to determine, give judgment, decide a dispute. It means to withdraw from one. So, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, not withdrawing yourself from the one you're asking the wisdom from, which would be, don't withdraw yourself. It means to separate oneself in a hostile spirit, to oppose, strive with dispute, contend, all characteristics of some of the influence of confusion. It's to be at variance with oneself, hesitate, doubt. So if you're wavering, it's going to cause strife. It's going to cause you to contend and oppose that which you were given, and then you begin to doubt, and then you're right back in the state of confusion again. This is how strong and influential this spirit actually is. And James goes on to say that anybody that wavers or allows confusion or allows themselves to withdraw from that which they have been given, or they doubt or they hesitate with what they've been given. He says, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of Yah because it wasn't purely received by faith or belief. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So James not only talks about wavering, he's going to talk about also the reason that this man can't receive this wisdom, the reason that he wavers. Again, it all ties back to a spirit of confusion, double-mindedness. That is the Greek 1374 and the Thayer definition. And it means to be simply double-minded or wavering or uncertain or doubting. So if you go in there and you're asking for this and you begin to waver, begin to doubt, you're uncertain, you're never going to receive the wisdom that you asked for, the one which Yah said he would give you liberally, not find fault with giving it to you. And Strong's, I just put this as a note, Strong's defines double-mindedness as being two-spirited, and pastors talked about that many times over the years. Or it's someone who operates out of the carnal as well as the spiritual. And quickly, just for your notes, we're going to talk unstable. The word unstable, as we find in a double-minded man, one that wavers, uncertain, or doubting, he's unstable. Meaning the Greek 182 and the Thayer definition. This man is restless. He's inconstant. He's unstable. So if you find yourself operating after these, being challenged by these, it's a good possibility that a spirit of confusion is somewhere in the workings. All right, how the spirit of confusion operates and enters in when we entertain alternative ideas and doctrines. And we have a perfect example of what happened in the book of Acts. So again, we're going to show an example in our word, as it brings it out, is how this spirit inserts itself and causes massive division, causes strife, causes disorder, causes chaos, everything that is behind it, not only spiritually or mentally, but also you can see its workings physically. All right, Acts chapter 19, verses 21 through 32. Acts chapter 19, verses 21 through 32. And I'm going to read through the whole thing here, then I'm going to talk a little bit about it. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. And incidentally, if anybody's following along in their Bibles, this is all the King out of the King James, okay? And he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself, meaning Paul, he stayed in Asia for a little bit longer, a season, okay? And there, and the same time there arose a no small stir about the way. So Paul was in Asia, he was ministering, he felt he needed to stay back there a little bit longer. After he passed through there, he got there, but then he said, well, you two go on, Timothy and Erastus, but I'm going to stick back, I'm going to hang back for a minute, right? All right, so, but he's there, you can tell by the context and the content that he's actually ministering the word, which we know Paul was out there doing regardless, right? And at the same time, in the same time Paul was there, there arose no small stir about that way, the way that Paul was preaching about. He's preaching the gospel. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. So they were making money off of making these false idols for these pagan religion, these pagan people, these heathens, and they were making good dollars, right? And Paul, spreading the truth of the gospel, is interfering on the word, interfering on their work, I should say, their labor and the money they were making. When we called together with the workmen of like occupation, said, sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth. So he's going to go into a speech mode. He's going to stir up the people, right? Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship it. So he's getting, you know, remember these people were in right here in this vicinity, and along with Demetrius and these other craftsmen and everybody else that was there, like when Yahshua was in the temple, that everybody else was standing by, they all heard. So the inhabitants of that area were hearing Paul, right? And they were hearing the word ministered and preached. And some were definitely getting it, and some were suffering, and they were getting enraged. So they're gonna form, that's what you do when you have a problem with something, you go to somebody else, and you go to somebody else, and you go to somebody else, and you're going to form a damn posse so you can take this on, so you can get some strength and credibility, right? So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. You understand that these men were already operating naturally after their carnal nature in a spirit of confusion, because they don't know what the real truth is. They were already under its influence. They had no control because they didn't understand its workings. And when they heard these things saying, these sayings, what Demetrius was telling them, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is the Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. Why was it filled with confusion? And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord, and so they got two of Paul's, the brothers that were with him, and they captured them. They're going to get to the bottom of this, right? Because now all of a sudden you had this peaceful environment where nobody was speaking against anything. They all learned to work together, to live together, and because they all believed the same, right? And so here comes this alternative idea. Now, this here is a good example of the, because the gospel being preached, but what I'm trying to get across here is when you have the good example in front of you, when you have the truth of the word, the strength of the word, the love of the word, and then somebody else introduces another doctrine, the idea is to usher in confusion and start causing division, it brings in wrath, it brings in strife, because if other people accept it, they're going to think, well, they've been fooled, and somebody is trying to steal from them or whatever the case is, and they're going to act out the carnal. They're going to jump carnal, right? And they're going to try to bring down the word. So we just, using this as an example of how the spirit can penetrate. I mean, it's like we all know the foundation of what the ministry preaches here, what it stands for, and that there's no denying that. But if you have somebody bringing alternative ideas, whatever the shit may be, and there's plenty of it out there floating out there, especially when people out there eating off of other tables and they want to come and induce these false doctrines, that's a spirit of confusion trying to do what its name is. It's to confuse the people that's allowing itself or who are allowing themselves to get their ears spit in, which is really a disappointment. I still ain't figured out why some of us in Israel just, I don't care, sisters, you got a brother that's preaching something contrary to you. First of all, he probably shouldn't be talking to you anyway. But if he tries to corny, just get up and walk the hell away. Who cares if you get offended? You're saving yourself. Same with the brothers. If you get somebody trying to present an alternative, some crazy off-the-cuff shit, get your ass up and walk. Just tell, hey, no thanks, brother. I'm good. You know, hey, that's up to you, but hey, I'm fine. I'm going to save my mind. I'm going to save my peace. I'm not going to allow no confusion or division or second-guessing to come into my life. Anyway, so the whole city was filled with confusion. Having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord in the theater. And when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not. They weren't going to allow Paul to go in that hornet's nest. These people were stirred up, man. They was pissed, and they wanted blood. And you can see him pushing back and forth. If you can portray what's going on here in your mind, this is a big uproar, right? This is all because confusion. And a certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself in the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come to. And most of them were just there. They didn't even know what the hell they were doing there. There was just something going on, right? I mean, see how this draws things? The spirit of confusion pulls people into its mist. It uses tentacles, and then once it gets them in there, it can actually start introducing its falsehoods, and then they become confused, and they start second-guessing, and they start doubting, and they start getting the chaos and the disorder and the wrong thinking and the doubt and all the other things that come in with this spirit in their minds. And then they have to go wrestle with themselves, right? Now, can it be better seen and understood as to why we as Israel are commanded not to mix with those of other nations? Why we must remain one people and be completely joined in one mind, one judgment, and one heart? Can we see and understand that now just by reading this example? Allowing opposing and dissenting ideas and thoughts, doctrines and ideologies invites in and opens up the door to a spirit of confusion, entering and causing internal and external struggles, anger, evil speaking, presumptuous, and many more things, and it removes the peace and order. How many of us have tried to reach people with the truth and found those we speak with to become angry and upset with us? Why is that? This is because what we are saying is challenging their way of thinking and lifestyle and cause confusion in their mind and tumult to enter in. You can tell right away Yah isn't dealing with them. And then they become angry and vengeful at you for disturbing their peaceful routine and lifestyles. This can be on a one-on-one, or this can be in a mob scene, right? As we just saw here in the example. And, you know, men, they're going to live for, they're going to fight for, and if need be, die for their way of thinking and their ideas, whether the thinking is of good or evil, because they don't understand what is sometimes pushing them. They're just out there doing their thing, but in the whole time they're opening up this door to the spirit to get a hold of so many others that would give ear to listen or see what it, you know, try to come running. You know how it is when you see somebody pulled over on the side of the road or, you know, there's a big accident. And what do they call them, the neck stretchers? Everybody's in there. They want to know what's going on, man. I mean, and then how many people get in wrecks after that because they're trying to see what the hell's going on and they end up smashing the guy, but you know, in front of them because they didn't see him put on, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, a simple case in point, right? The devil in this day and age has used this manufactured disease called COVID to cause a mass hysteria and division in this country. It's caused confusion into people's minds what is a pandemic or what is just something that is just a working in the body that'll go through the body. I mean, it's got a 99.7 survivability rate, so it's nothing even worse than the flu, for Pete's sake. But it's in there to confuse the people about what should we do, who should we listen to, should we use our own thoughts, should we listen to the government, right? And when this confusion gets there, you're going to find out there's, you see the infightings and the wars, man. You see in the videos of people in a market, they're in a store, and somebody walks in without a mask. My God, some of these people turn into animals. They want to kill you, right? I mean, they got all kinds of shit going. They want to throw people out of planes, and I ain't surprised they took a plane down yet because there's a Karen up there that got all bent out of shape because somebody wasn't. Oh, my God, it's madness. But there's this spirit in this age that's blanketing this globe, the spirit of confusion that is just trying to inundate the people, leave them in a mess, leave them totally in a state of amazement, not knowing to go left or the right with no assurance. Hey, it's making it ripe for the man of sin to come in, is it not? All right, enough of the commentary. We're going on. All right, examples of confusion and poor communication, miscommunication, failure to speak clearly and definitely, and definitively ushers in a spirit of communication. Be defined in your speech, right? Make it definitive. There we go. Genesis chapter 11, we all know the story. We're going to read it, though, because there's a lot to be said in this. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Genesis 11, 1 through 6. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for water. All right, Genesis chapter 11, starting verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. So you had the whole earth at one time. They all spoke the same thing. They completely understood, clearly understood each other. They know what was being communicated. So we have an idea. We have an image of what it was like. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name. Let us be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And Yahweh came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And Yahweh made a statement, and the statement is just absolutely critical. He said, behold, the people is one. They all have one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will restrain them. Nothing will be restrained from them, excuse me. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Again, strong communication is vital to stop the attack from a spirit of confusion. We can see the example of one mind in this without division working here, where the communication and the clarity, they all had a defined goal. We can see it in an evil sense, but we also know that in a righteous sense, it's a huge benefit and protection. Confusion will always hinder the work, as it did, because if you go on and you continue to read in Genesis chapter 11, that because then everybody's languages were confounded. They were all began speaking different languages, and they were all confounded. They couldn't get together. They couldn't hear. They couldn't be in one thought or one mind. They couldn't be joined. They were confused. They were running around like, crazy men because they couldn't get anything done because of the spirit of confusion. That's Babel. But strong communication is vital to stop the attack from a spirit of confusion, speaking clearly, making things definitive, removing all the poor communication or the miscommunication. Confusion will always hinder the work. It will cause conflicting ideas about what was to be accomplished. Because everybody, if you don't hear clearly, one will say, oh, hey, we're supposed to do it this way. And they'll say, no, we're supposed to do it that way. Well, I heard it this way. And all of a sudden you got this conflict and strife coming back in because there wasn't proper, clear communication. Leaders of fellowships, heads of homes, and mothers, all of us that are in some positions of authority, whatever it might be, Leaders of fellowships, heads of home, and mothers must all employ soundness of speech. Not everybody, not just what I have listed here, but more certainly those that have the rule of authority over others. Must all employ soundness of speech. Must employ clear communication so that direction and instruction is understood by all, and that all in agreement and joining in fulfilling the same mission and accomplish the same goals. It's difficult for others when we speak and give direction only in partiality and expect for discernment and intuition to fill in the gaps, because not everybody has discernment. So if I'm out here with the brothers, right, and I say something like, hey, I want this done this way, but I want it done a certain way, but I just say, all right, this is what we're going to do this, this, and this, but it's not clearly spelled out because I've got other things in my mind, or I've got something else, somewhere else I need to be. So I just, you know, because I'm in a hurry, I'm just giving one example. I just, you know, put something out there, but don't give clarity. And then I walk away, and then I come back later, and it looks like, man, did these brothers do what I told them to do? What in the world is going on here? I mean, and I'm thinking in my head, I clearly communicated, not really realizing, and then when I get up there and ask them, then they start giving me all kind of stories, and I think, oh, shit, you know, that's my fault. I should have spent the time and clearly communicated what my intent was, or what the meaning of the purpose was, all right? That's just one direction, like a mother with a child, you know, they want the children to, you know, clean up their plates so they don't, you know, they can say, you know, put your plates away, and they may have meant, I want you to wash your plates and put them away, but if they're not clear in communication, the children are doing what they're trying to figure out to do, and then the parent gets mad at them, and the children get confused because I thought I was doing what I was told. See, that's just another example. That's why clear and concise and definitive communication is so important. It helps to stop the spirit of confusion from coming in. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, and Paul spoke about the strength of having no divisions. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, that you all speak the same thing. Why? Because Paul understood that if we don't, if we start inserting our own opinions, ideas, or interpretations, whatever it may be, we're going to allow the spirit of confusion come in. So if you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that you all be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Again, we have the example in Genesis 11 in the building of the Tower of Babel that they would have completed it. I mean, the word of Yahweh said that nothing will restrain these people from accomplishing this goal. Well, he expects us to be the same way. If we all speak the same thing, that there's no divisions among you, how much we can accomplish. If we're all geared in the same direction, we all have the same, follow the same vision, we follow the man of Yah, Pastor Dallas, he follows Yahshua, we can do these things. We can be great together as a people and be beneficial and righteous before the Most High. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Matthew 5, 37. Jesus said it clearly, just to avoid a lot of this stuff, right? He said, but let your communication be yea and yea, and nay and nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh evil. I mean, when you start offering more of your opinion, when you don't just write down the brass tacks, explain exactly what it means, and mean what you say, there's no miscommunication, no room for misinterpretation, that it's clearly defined and spoken of, just be exact in your words, right? Because once you start to go beyond that, that's when you open the door to confusion. If you're following what I'm saying, I pray that you are. Excuse me. All right. Biblical examples of sexual immorality, perversity, and confusion against the created order of things. Again, confusion, the spirit is very broad. It's got a great big scope. It's been working since the beginning, and now it's very prevalent on the planet right now. What better way to get people into control is somebody that can stand up and alleviate all the confusion and get everybody on board. And those that won't comply, they're going to die, right? That's the way it's going to be in the end days. Okay, Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22 through 24. Leviticus 18, 22 through 24. And the Bible says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. It's against the ordained, created order of Yah. It's a violation and a perversion against his divine order. This is confusion. This is demonstrating confusion. This is walking confusion. When you walk with a sick, degraded, perverse spirit, if your mind operates in these things, if you're satisfied with these things, if you're going to push yourself, if you're going to have some enjoyment or find some fulfillment or whatever the case may be, or just want to partake in these kind of abominable sick acts, you are under a spirit of confusion. This is against the divine order, against the Most High. It is a violation and a perversion of his created order. Right? I mean, I did a study not too long ago on threesomes and lesbians and stuff like that. And all this stuff is just a flat-out sick perversion. Flat-out, it is confusion. Yah made, look at the animals, right? Doesn't nature teach you? If you see a cow out there with a bunch of heifers, right? The cow is only creating a union one at a time with one of the heifers or one of the cows. He's only going one at a time. That's with all the animals. He isn't trying to get another heifer to join in. You understand? Nature should teach you that stuff. It's not that difficult, but the perversion that has entered into our minds, this confusion, and we allow it to manifest and become more perverse because nothing's done about it. Verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before thee. Again, you see all these things, these perversions that are out there all over the place, right, in the world. I mean, you shouldn't be looking for it. It's evident, and it's only getting worse, right? You know, with the evidence of social media, with technology, with cell phones and computers, I mean, they got perversity running rampant. You can get anything that you want, any type of entertainment that you want anywhere, anytime. It's free. You know, it used to be that you used to pay for pornography and water was free. But now we pay for water and pornography is free. Everything has gone backwards. All right, confusion as it's used in verse 23 of Leviticus 18. Confusion, Hebrew 8397, this is in the Brown Driver Briggs, Brother Ugly. It means confusion, violation of nature or divine order. It means perversion or sexual sin. That's simply the explanation for confusion. When we are born again of the water and the spirit, of a new man in the image of Messiah, of a new nature, but when we operate, we are born again, of the water and the spirit, of the new man in the image of Messiah, of a new nature. So we're created in a new nature in the image of him. When we operate in wickedness, in sin, we go against our divine nature, which is found in our Heavenly Father, and we open up the door to confusion, to chaos and disorder, all these things that cloud the mind. You know, and these people, they deal with these perversions and the sickness, how they must go back and forth, they wrestle back and forth, and they get this, and the only way they can satisfy that lust is to get more of it and to make it grow and to let it become more sicker. And the confusion gets in there more deeper and deeper. They get angry and enraged, and they want to, it becomes, anyway, I don't want you painting no pictures in your mind, but that crap is out there, right? That's why Yah said it's an abomination. It's not to be named once among you as becoming saints. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11 and 12. No, Leviticus 20, verses 11 through 16. 11 through 16. Again, more order against the created order of Yah. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. This is against the natural created order, the divine order that Yah had instituted from the beginning. This is confusion in somebody's mind to actually entertain and partake in this kind of behavior. Verse 12, and if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Because other people see it, those especially the innocent. I mean, imagine if a child saw this crap. If a child was a partaker of this stuff, just watched but walked by and saw some kind of sick, perverted behavior and action and interaction, don't you think confusion would enter in it? Because he was born naturally, created in a way that he understood one order, he or she, and then they're seeing this shit. They do it, and they can get this stuff in kindergarten, they can get this crap, right? Anyway, their blood shall be upon them. They're going to pay for this. The word confusion in chapter 12, or verse 12, I'm sorry, is the Hebrew 8397, the Brown Driver Briggs. Again, the same meaning. It's violation of nature or divine order, which is confusion and perversion. They have wrought confusion. They have wrought against, they come against the divine nature or divine order of Yah's creation. That's the same thing Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. That's exactly what they did there too. I mean, do a little study. Look up the word vile when it says vile affections. You'll be amazed at what this says. I mean, anyway, I'll let you look it up. Again, okay, so I'll just use this as an example. I got my notes because it's been brought up so much. Yaki. You know, obviously, everybody knows by now he's clearly under a demonic stronghold of confusion. You can see it. The way he operates, the way he takes the word and totally flips it on his head and justifies what he's doing. This is somebody that is so inundated under the spirit of confusion, he does no longer know what the real truth is. He has been given over to reprobate mind. I mean, to lose the reality of what the real true created nature of man was, who they were. I mean, they started out green. Come on, the Bible tells you that we were made from the dust of the earth. Adam, right? Red. Ruddy. Why can't you just believe what the word says? Got to invent some type of new shit. I ain't got no reptilian in me. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I ain't buying that shit. But there are people that are. I'm telling you. And again, everything he's stating already is proven that he's totally against the divine nature and order of Yah's creation. All right, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lie with woman, both of them have committed an abomination, which is something disgusting and perverse. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that they be no wickedness among you. Yah wants this stuff moved out of there right away. Immediately. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death. Not only a woman, but a man. I mean, it's both. He shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. Do you imagine what would happen if this stuff was left unchecked? Now the stuff would enter in people's mind and think, well, that's acceptable, right? And that same spirit of confusion enters into them. And if a woman approach on any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, thou shalt surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Isaiah 5:20, just a sign of the times. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. These people are definitely under spirit of confusion, and they want to operate in it. That put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Everything has been flipped on its head. And the increase in the confusion is like a, what do they call it, a snowball that's grown bigger as it rolls down the hill. But, hey, these are some ways to help get either overcome the spirit of confusion or prevent it from trying to get in. And it's simple. It's very simple. Psalms 37, 23, and 24. Psalm 37, 23, and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by Yahweh, not of a wicked man, but of a good man, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for Yahweh upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of a man are ordered, are his ordered progression in life. If you are standing in righteousness, your steps are directed from the Most High. But if you are operating in wickedness, then be assured that your steps will be ones that lead to confusion and chaos in your life. as you will no longer have the Most High guiding you. It's when you go off the path and start doing shit on your own that's when you, this spirit can come on top and come into you and influence you. It is like wandering blindly with no idea of the right way to go. But a good man's steps are ordered by Yahweh. If you're a wicked man, Yah is not ordering your steps. And finally, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart. If you want to combat against the spirit of confusion, the chaos, and the restlessness, and the big old list I read at the beginning, trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, all their heart, all of it, right? And lean not to your own understanding, because as soon as we try to lean to our own understanding, I've been victimized by this too many times in my past, trying to figure things out, trying to ascertain in my own mind why it works like this, why it don't work like that, right? But it all comes trusting in Yahweh. Even if you don't, wait on Him, because He will show you eventually. He'll make it known to you. Because if you're a good man, your steps will be ordered by Him. So just don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in Yahweh. And we say it, the performance of it sometimes is because we still deal with that carnal nature. It can be a trial. It can be a challenge. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Again, that trust, not to lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in everything. Just put Him in everything that you do, and He shall direct thy paths. Yah in everything. All right, saints, that's the conclusion, the short study of this spirit of confusion. I hope that you were edified, were able to take something away from this. Again, the spirit is very prevalent, and it can only do more damage, and it will increase more in the world, so be even more on guard for it. And if you find yourself dealing with any of these things, truly examine yourself. Maybe that you are walking in sight the spirit of confusion, right? I mean, your thoughts should tell you right away that I better take note about, this way, that way, the other thing. And if you have actions compounded on top of what you're already thinking, then you definitely are a candidate for deliverance. So anyway, I hope you all have a great week. Keep your guard up, stay sober, stay aware, not only spiritually and mentally, but also out there, in the world, because those that have to venture on the world, it ain't getting no better. I mean, there's some harm and suspect to come at any time. So, definitely keep your, what do they call it? I don't know, it's a military term. Swivel on a head. I hope I'm not butchering it. But anyway, and y'all have a blessed week. And as always, keep the leadership, especially our pastor, our shepherd, Pastor Dowell, lifted up in prayer. And that He may even continue, even in a greater measure, to bring us the word of the Most High, to help Israel get perfected. And pray for one another that you may be healed. All right. All right. Blessings to y'all. You have a great week. And y'all willing, I'll see you in 5 weeks. All right. Much shalom.